that old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak, as they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in.
Don't give in.
That old wheel will roll around again.
That will even the score.
When love is gone, and the one you thought would stay does you wrong.
Does you wrong.
And you're left alone to pay. The price is high.
Way high.
But through Christ you'll survive. Don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Amen.
That old wheel, gonna roll around once more. When it does,
and when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Play it, Paul, for the boy.
There'll be times hard to control, and you'll find
that you'll find
you'll hurt down in your soul. There'll be those who'll be glad to see you down, but don't give in.
Amen.
That old wheel will roll around again. That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does,
when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does,
it will even up the score.
Don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in.
And welcome to Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers. Good morning, Remnant, and welcome. We are coming to you live from the Radio Ranch. Beautiful morning here, crisp, about 43 degrees. We've only got about another 10 days of summer. We'll have a 91st day the middle of this month, and that'll move us into fall. And I'm in a sweatshirt this morning. It was a little brisk walking across the yard this morning, I can tell you that. But we thank you for joining us here. We've got a full crew this morning. We'll bring the men on. Good morning, Brother Paul.
Good morning.
And Zach from Michigan, good morning to you, sir.
Good morning.
And Jason, good morning, sir.
Good morning.
And again, Remnant, good morning to you. Thanks for joining us. We hope you have your Bibles with you. We hope you have some good hot coffee with you. And we gather in the name of Jesus Christ. We gather... And for us, a time of sweet fellowship, a time of, who knows the direction we go. We'll open up in prayer. Jason, we'll ask you to do that. And where it goes from there, who knows? Well, Jason, would you open us up, sir?
Certainly. Well, dear Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning. And we just ask, Father, for your blessing upon this radio program. We pray that you lead us, guide us, direct us, Father, in the direction that we are to go. And Lord Jesus, we just pray for the remnant across this land, and we pray, Father, that you tend to their needs, Father, and that you just give them the hope that they need and that they can smile at the future. We pray on the forearm of God, having done everything to stand firm, and we ask, Father, that you deliver us from the hands of our enemies and that you bring our enemies down lower and lower and that you allow the remnant to rise higher and higher. We pray, Father, that you work across this land in a mighty and powerful way, Father, that we can see your hands at work. Lord Jesus Christ, we come before you and we plead the blood of Jesus Christ over us from the top of our head to the bottom of our feet and ask for to be forgiven of our sins, known and unknown. And Lord, we just We just cry out to you, save America again. Save this land, Father. We know this is the apple of your eye. We know this is your land. And we pray, Father, for this land to be a God-fearing land once again, Father. We pray that you stimulate your people to do what they need to be doing and to prepare for what they need to be preparing for. We pray that you work in their hearts and in their minds. And, Lord, we just we cry out for you to save this land, to do a mighty and awesome work, Father. And anything that comes against us, we just hold up that shield of faith and extinguish those fiery darts and call for them to be sent back 100 to 1,000-fold as you see fit. In Jesus Christ's name we pray, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, Remnant, it's a live program this Saturday morning, September 4th, 2021, and we have the phone lines open this morning. If you'd like to call in, if you have a question or a comment, that call-in number is 307-745-5913, and we'd be glad to take your call. And, you know, some of the recent current events this week that continue on, it's not every year that we have a hurricane that comes up through the Gulf and hits the Gulf Coast and then continues all through the country, bringing flooding and destruction. And then up in New York and New Jersey causes tornadoes and flooding and 49 deaths. But yet that's what we've had this week. And you see so little of it on the news. So little of it is covered. And I've spoke with some of the Remnant, and as far as I know, we haven't had any, as far as our church members, our extended congregation, haven't had any big issues with it. My son is up in Maryland, and he said they had tornado warnings outside of Annapolis, but it just rained a little bit there. And you can bet we were sure praying for safety there. But it just doesn't happen all the time. Normally, when hurricanes hit the coast, they once they get inland, they bring a little, you know, maybe a tornado or two and some rain, but nothing like this. And so, you know, that's affected the South, really impacted the Gulf Coast, but then all across Tennessee and into the Northeast. And so we see that on one side of the nation, and again, and then just record wildfires, as we're just getting into wildfire season out in California, and they've got the largest fire they've ever had, and over 200,000 acres just in a single fire out there in California. It's moved up through Lake Tahoe into Nevada, and the fires they've had all summer, we've been getting their smoke, us and two-thirds of the nation. It is just hazy days, you might say. And when we see these things, I can't help but think of the plagues of Egypt that God brought and allowed to happen for him to be glorified, and to not that he needs proving, but to show that it was he and not the small g gods of Egypt that were in charge. And I think that these things are continuing to happen today. Not even to mention the drought that we're in. The Southwest United States, the Northwest United States, the farmers up there that did not have water to water their crop this year, this summer. It is interesting times that we are in. Not just, well, it's hurricane season, so we get hurricanes, and it's fire season, so we get fires. But they are growing. They are bigger. They are doing things they haven't done in the past. The word says that the Lord speaks to his people in the tempest. And he's speaking. It's just, I think, a matter of whether his people are going to hear or not. So that's my two cents to start off.
Well, I think you go around and you talk to people in your communities, and every place that I... Thank you. People, and if they're more politically towards the right, they are giving off like a type of vibration of survival prepping, resistance. Like, it's more of a warlike, they have a more of a warlike mentality. And, like, if you go into any of the grocery stores and you try to buy canning lids, I mean, my wife and I have been canning stuff, you know, we've been there for 15 years now. We've been canning every year. We can't even buy canning lids because when they come in and they get stocked, you know, that stuff is getting gobbled up. People are going into survival mode, and the health departments all across this land are putting on these crazy mask mandates on our kids. That's what's going on in my neck of the woods. And people are pushing back. They're not liking what they're seeing. And I think it's truly exciting times. And the more I see what's going on, the more at peace personally I'm in, because it gives me hope that people are starting to respond to that law that's written on their heart. Because that's what God said. He's on Israel and Judah. And I'm going to write my law on their heart. And they're responding to it. And they're not putting up with it. And every time when you read in the Old Testament what triggers the hand of God to move to deliver Israel, it was repentance. And I think that we're starting to see that. And it doesn't matter what the news is doing. It doesn't matter what the news is saying. Nobody on the right believes them. And I think it's a wonderful thing. And, you know, you can be, don't get me wrong, I like guns, I like ammo, I like stuff. But you got to be, you know, an army just isn't guns. There's supply. You got to have your mentality, like, to supply and take this land back. And what are we going to do with, like, to keep ourselves sustained? And, you know, I like prepping, and I like all that stuff too, but, you know, every year stuff comes and it grows, and then, you know, there's a harvest, and you gotta, I really think we gotta get that mentality, like, we're taking this land back, and we are going to set up a system, because we know what the end is. Jesus is coming back. We're gonna set up a system that is godly and is approved by God. And I think people are kind of getting that mentality. I guess that's my 2 cents.
That's 4 cents. I've ever heard 4 cents.
What's that?
Never mind.
Almost a nickel's worth, huh?
Yeah.
Amen. And you know, Zach, here as well.
There's a lot of people that just they don't understand it, and that's fine. And but you know, we got to be that stronghold, and we got to be the guys that are, you know, have our A game on right now, and that, you know, we're those Gideon soldiers of old. You know, though weary, they pressed on, and we press on, and it don't matter what anybody thinks that's going on next to us. They don't understand what we're trying to do in the gardening side of things. They don't understand what we're trying to do with agriculture. They don't understand with, you know, they can say, okay, I'm not buying cows and I'm getting rid of all my cows, or you need to go shoot all your cows in the head. And I've heard all of those things. You know, it's, you know, it don't matter what the world thinks of things. It's like, you've got to make sure that you got a conscience, and that you've got, that you're bought and paid for with the blood of Jesus Christ. And, you know, and go with it. You know, let your conscience be your guide. You know, it's not your conscience, but it's the Holy Spirit. But you know what I'm saying.
I do. And like, you go back to when Gabe Brown released his book, and I would say he's probably one of the top three in the regenerative agriculture scene. And the way he puts it, I mean, the way he wrote that book and the way he talks and when he does seminars, I mean, anybody can understand what he's talking about and grasp the concept that you're healing the land. And there are a lot of people doing that, and there are that right there is a form, in my opinion, is a form of repentance that honors God. Now, now that those people are baptized,
that's not just your opinion. That is the truth. That's hands down. I was talking with a guy last night, and I gave him that book a week ago, and he said he's halfway through that book. And I said, what do you think? And he's like, I think it'll work. And I'm like, no. I'm like, there's no thinking about it. It will work. And he's like, yeah. He's like, I know. And he's like, I know you're right. And he's like, if we practice what is taught in that book, that will change the world. And I said, yes, absolutely, 100%, it will change. And I said, you know, do you know why it is? Why it will change the world? And he's like, no, I don't. I said, because it's God's plan. I mean, that is people, that is repentance. That is healing the land. That's understanding that what we have been doing is wrong and turning from our wicked ways. And
yes,
God is hearing from heaven, and he is healing our land. I'm like, that is wisdom that's been passed down from God.
Yes.
And he's like, well, I never thought of it like that. And he's like, and I said, well, it is. And he's like, he thought about it for a while, and he's like, you are 100% correct.
And think about it another way. You are doing, when people start doing their egg in the way that it is laid out in that book, you are doing a full frontal assault on the fertilizer companies, on the Monsantos of this world. You are attacking them. And most people are completely oblivious to it, but that is the way they look at it. Do you think that they want people doing regenerative ag? No, they're going to go broke. They're going to go
well,
broke.
Well, and that's just a little bit of it. It's like, you know, we've talked for years and years and years, and Pastor talked about it for years and years and years on, you know, how horrible this Monsanto Corporation was. It's not just, you know, sticking the middle finger up at them and telling them where to go, but it is God's blessing upon us, and it is doing something. And, you know, people, you know, a lot of our people, you know, they mock God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. But the truth is, God did love the world so that he did give his only begotten son. And that's truth. It's in the Word of God. And
yep,
God did love the world. And we've got, you take that along with 2 Chronicles 7:14, and it is, as far as I'm concerned, and my belief, and it is God answering prayer.
Absolutely.
Because there has been those that have repented.
Yep.
You don't know how big this regenerative agriculture is, because every mainline magazine that's coming out is talking about regenerative agriculture. Every one of them.
Yes.
They know what's coming. And I don't think we know how many people are into it. There was a guy in Georgia, he had 170 people working for him, and he went organic years ago, or not organic, regenerative, and he's just been prospering. But this guy's been around for quite some time, but we never heard about him anywhere. And they're out all over the country. They're that. It's just amazing me how big it is.
Yeah, I know. And last week after we got off radio, I read you that article. Maybe it was 2 weeks ago, but about how regenerative agriculture saved our farm, and they've been doing it for 40 years. And that was in not mainstream magazine, but it was, you know, that information is getting out there.
Well, the mainstreams all are mentioning it. They're not hiding from it no more because, see, they have to, because people are going there, and then they will look stupid if they haven't dealt with it. You know, and actually the American consumer is that dictated this. He wants better food. They know it.
Yes.
I mean, you live in an area, Jason, where the people with money and willing to spend what it takes. Look at Gabe up there in North Dakota. They'll come and buy it because they know it's better for them. I mean, this is going on with anybody that, you know, is thinking at all. You are what you eat. There's not a family that doesn't have cancer in it. I'd like to know of one, because there's every family's got something in it, heart attack or something, but they're just, you know, God's keeping his word. He's killing us. Or we're killing ourselves because we rejected him. And this flooding stuff is worldwide. I mean, China and Japan are getting hammered with floods and earthquakes and just killing thousands of people. I mean, this has been going on for at least a month. Europe is just washing away. Snow in Africa, snow in South America where it's never been before. Giraffes standing in 2 foot of snow. Camels got snow on their back. You know, this is worldwide, you know, and it just brings me just in Ezekiel 38, verse 23, thus I will magnify myself and sanctify myself, and I will be known in the eyes of many nations, and they will know that I am the Lord. And see, this is why the news media ain't touching it, because if they did, people would repent, because they know, we all know we're guilty. We got, you know, we need a good whipping is what we do, you know, down deep. And I don't know, there's just something about it. When you know you're guilty, you know you're guilty.
So, well, and it's like we are guilty as charged, and people need to remember that. And it's not that we're that great, but, you know, the only thing that makes us righteous is the blood of Jesus Christ, hands down. That's the way it is. You know, when we go before that judgment throne, it is guilty as charged, except for the blood of Jesus Christ. And people need to realize that and understand that, but that's one part of it. That's part of our personal salvation. But then we've got national salvation, which is one of the things that our pastor really pushed very hard. And I think this regenerative agriculture is national salvation, and world salvation is basically is we're talking about different things. But it's exciting to see both of them happen. You know, people want to talk about the bad things that are going on in the world, and if you look at the scene, absolutely. But if you look at the unseen, I mean, he's still in control. And when God tends to work in this land and through this land or with his people, it's not when you're the majority or when everything is for you. It is when you're the minority and everybody's against you.
Yeah. So, and the thing of it is, Babylon is going down. And we all know it. And I got to tell a quick little story. And as soon as I heard this story, Jason, I called you up and I told you, you got to listen to this podcast. So, like, there's this one guy that he owns a clothing line. And he decided, the guy's a former military guy, and he decided he was going to do everything in the United States. He was going to give people jobs, and he was going to have his clothing line from the order to the delivery of what the product all be done in the USA. And so he decided he was going to build a blue jean company, and he goes around, he starts looking around, and he's going to find somebody that is in the United States that makes denim and that makes blue jeans. And there was not a single company in the United States that made blue jeans. So he had to go get a loom, find an old timer, and they literally had to figure out how to make denim again in the United States. And he pulled it off, and his business was very successful. Well, then you fast forward a couple of years. So he's got three or four guys that are making blue jeans, and then pretty soon a big company, Levi Strauss, shows up, and they asked him, can you make blue jeans for us? And the man's response was like, no, I'm going to rip your face off. I'm a savage. You guys are going down. And I think he's going to do it, because what did Levi Strauss do? They subsidize all of their stuff to China. They fund Planned Parenthood. They are against, they're anti-hunting. They're anti-Second Amendment.
Yes.
And that dude, I think he's going to pull it off. Those guys are desperate, and we need to understand they are desperate, they are weak, and it's not going to take that much of a percentage to take their profits away, and we can take them out. We have to believe it. And that guy is proof, and his story right there is proof that things are getting really shaky. So buckle up. The ride's about ready to begin. Real good.
Well, if you see what's going on in China with the floods and the earthquakes, they are not going to be able to send anything out of there. I mean, it's devastated. I mean, a dam that took them 10 years to build burst. You know, you don't just fix that. And how many people did it kill when it burst? I mean, they're not going to be able to send us nothing. You know, and there's no voids. God's going to raise up, you know, regenerative agriculture, Blue Jean Boy, and everybody else. He's going to put a replacement, but it's going to be a remnant.
Yep.
You know, look That's at right. Noah. He preached for 100 years, and how many got on the boat? 8. You know, hey, it's going to rain. Never rained before in the world, and, you know, look at Moses and Aaron standing at the Red Sea, you know, and I'm sure most of his followers were wondering. So, I mean, he had plenty of dissension in the camp, and they were swallowed them. So, don't expect, everybody thinks we have enough people. There ain't going to be enough people. Never. 3% of the American people fought and won the Revolutionary War because they had God on their side. No other reason.
Amen. And that is that remnant that the Bible talks about. Those that it talks about that throughout the Old Testament, that it is a remnant that will be saved. The remnant. Those that have returned. Those that have not only believed, but not only heard the word, but are doers of the word. And that's what we're talking about this morning, being a doer of the word, being a doer when it comes to agriculture, being a doer when it comes to running a business with godly principles. And Zach, you're right. We have seen, you know, over the I get his emails. I think it's Roger Whitaker puts out a little list of Made in America. And because there's a movement underfoot to get back to Made in America, and he highlights, you know, Made in America products, and the choice is before the people. Is it more expensive than Made in China crap? Yes, it does cost more money than that. But when the money stays here in the nation. You know, it's night and day, and you'll see that with, you know, local shops. We've talked about the local butcher shops and how busy they've been and how many new meat processing local butcher shops have come up. We've got a brand new one here in town, and they're swamped. The older shop in town is swamped because so many people they're wanting to buy local. Not all of them, because the big box stores, they're jam-packed all the time as well. But there's so many people that are wanting to buy local, that are waking up, as you mentioned before the broadcast. They are starting to wake up to the need for this, and to see that it's the local guy, it's the local, you know, the local gas station, the single one that. And the local butcher shop that are supporting the Little League and that are, you know, supporting the community and the community's children and what the community does versus just being a big box store that has run businesses out of, you know, out of operation. And so it is exciting to see what's going on. Well, Remnant, the phone lines are open. Go ahead, Paul.
The big box stores are just sucking the cream off everything. Yeah, they create some jobs and stuff, but all the profit goes to corporate headquarters. And then they're just buying us out, you know. I think Levi Strauss years ago went on like that, but he kind of refused it because, hey, this system's been good to me, he said. And so he rode the fence, and this is what he reaped. So anyway.
On that company I took over, and it was one of the first clothing companies to ever be run by a queer, and you know, and they gradually went downhill. So
that's right. Well, that's what happens in good times and success. It's happened throughout our entire history, the history of the Anglo-Saxon people, the true Israelites of the Bible, the Anglo-Saxon, Germanic, Celtic, and kindred people. That when we have had success, and the parasite comes in, of course. Then before you know it, that parasite, that alien gets higher and higher, and we get lower and lower. You know, the old saying that, you know, the good times produce soft people, and then the enemy comes in, and then there's hard times, and then it's the hard times that produce tough people, and have people returning to their God. And as you said, Zach, that ride, that's coming. That ride is gearing up. Strap your seat belts, buckle up, because here it comes. It is, and we're in line for that ride. That's for sure.
Remember Kiplinger, what he said?
What?
When the Saxon begins to hate, and they started to see it. Zach was at a meeting here last week or wherever it was, and the Saxons begin to hate. He don't know what he's mad at yet. It's like getting stung by a bear. You don't really know where he is at the moment, but you do react, you know. And yeah, the Saxon's beginning to hate, and that's a wonderful thing.
It is. It is. Just this mask mandate. Just this mask mandate is causing that. You know, this mask mandate with their children in school. And, Zach, you talked about it. And we are seeing it all over. Our local paper, the last meeting that they had, they had to shut it down for 90 minutes to let the people calm down. Because there was yelling and booing. And I read the article yesterday. And, you know, the totally unexpected, by the school board, you know, we expect it. We see it brewing and happening, and it is happening all over the country. Up in Connecticut last week, they were chasing the governor. He was running from them. They were chasing him across the whatever it was, the Capitol or whatever it was. Yelling and screaming, and the people are mad. I like how you put it, Paul. They don't really understand it all yet, but they're starting to wake up. They're mad at these things that are going on.
Well, you know, that meeting, I think it was the one that was Zach was at, this lady was just going off on him about the mask, and then you're going to want to vaccinate. But see, that's that motherly instinct in there. She's protecting her family. These Jezebels just don't want to take no rules, but that woman is protecting her family, what's going on in her head. And she can see it coming. And that's the difference. These Jezebels today, well, you ain't telling me what to do.
That's,
you know,
right.
Well, good for you.
Yep. And you're seeing it with every race. You're seeing blacks, you're seeing Asians, Hispanics, and whites as well, that are doing this, that are fed up, that are waking up to this this destruction that's planned for them and their children.
Well, yeah, it's this war is being fought with a needle right now. It's not with a bayonet or a bullet. It's all done with a needle, and that's what they're doing, and that's why they... Anything on TV is either gambling or get your vaccination. That's all they advertise. You know, we don't have cable. We just got a rabbit ears, but ain't a darn thing to watch anymore, so. This is for the Jezebel women that might be listening, chapter 4 of Isaiah. And in that day, seven women shall take a hold of one man, saying, "We will eat our own bread, we will wear our own apparel. Only let us be called by thy name to take away our reproach." That's for the Jezebels. You see, you know, these Mennonites and Amish all wear that bonnet. I don't personally believe that is. That you're not to go into church without a covering. That's a husband. And you're to keep quiet in church and go home if you have questions and ask. I mean, I think that covering is a husband. I don't believe it's a bonnet, personally. I could be wrong.
I remember Pastor.
No, I would agree with you.
Yeah, on that.
You know, that's the way that I see it too, and I think that's truth.
And that's such a foreign concept in the land today, because that Jezebel spirit is so ripping and roaring. But the Word of God hasn't changed, and you know, thankfully there are still a few ministries, there are still a few pastors, there are still a few watchmen on the wall that haven't backed down, that continue to put that out, that the Word of God, whether you believe it or not, what was it you said at one time, Paul? You know, God said it, I believe it, and that settles it. You don't have to believe it.
End of the matter.
That's right. God said it. That settles it. It's as simple as that. And his word has not changed. In the beginning was the word, we read in John. In the beginning was the word. The word became flesh and dwelt among us. And that has not changed. Yeah. Paul?
Not only that, people, read your Bible, hold your preacher to the word. You know, don't just take his word for it. He went to the seminaries, and he indoctrinated them and all. We don't know who's who. You know, they know evil, but most of them are, I believe. Because I'm not a real smart person, but when I read this book, that's what changed me. When it says that it's it, you're going to listen to opinions till you're blue in the face. I used to go there. I was put into the management of that church I was raised in, and they said, well, I don't believe that. And one day, and I was just a punk kid back then, and one day I says, it don't matter what you believe. What does the Bible say? You know, and they all got awful silent, you know. Because, yeah, they sat there with the meeting should have took 15 minutes, and it took all night, you know, and it's just ridiculous. But everybody's got their opinion.
That's right. That's how it is with stiff-necked Israelites. Another mark of who we are as a people, for the most part, who we are. Who we are. Well, Remnant, we've got a few minutes left this morning on the Coffee with the Wranglers program. The phone lines are open, 307-745-5913. If you have a question or a comment.
Yeah, Richard, that scripture that you were quoting there in John 1, actually, just yesterday, I was telling a guy that's my favorite line to give a person a concrete definition of who Christ is. He is the Word that became flesh.
Yes,
and you know, and I said, like, well, according to the Apostle John, you know, what would be the Word at the time of Jesus? And I'm like, it's what we would call the Old Testament today. And I go, if you don't know that, then you don't know Jesus. And his response, like, he instantly, knee-jerk reaction was, well, you can read the New Testament and still go to heaven. And I was like, yeah, you can. And in our conversation, you know, because the only thing that's on his mind is going to heaven. And I know what the second most important command is. That's to love your neighbor as yourself. And you need to want him to do well as well.
Yes.
So I got to thinking about it, and I wish I would have asked him. I'm like, well, is that what the old word says? And you know how you look at stuff 2020, and like, oh, I should have said that. And then, well, is that what it says? And,
right.
You know, and I would have had him because he wouldn't have known. You know, and I've known this guy for quite some time, and I do care about him, and he is a baptized Church of Christ guy, and you know, but does he have a solid foundation of a historical foundation of Israel according to the Old Testament? No. I tried teaching it to him. Does he have a solid concrete foundation of the promises with Abraham? No, I tried teaching it to him. It was all the rejection because of all this leaven that these creatures have put in everybody's head that's literally infected everybody's brain that's across that thing that calls themselves a Christian. Because we know, you know, 99.999% of the quote-unquote self-called Christian people out there, they have no concept of a historical account of Israel. They don't have a legitimate one, and they don't have a legitimate knowledge of the promises with Abraham, and they don't know. And so you got to put the blame where the blame belongs. It's people are illiterate of the Bible, and it goes directly on the preachers, so then talking sweet little nothings in people's ears to make them feel good. And that's where the blame goes 100% of everything that we've been talking about. It goes right there.
That's right.
The people for being ignorant, because we all know just because you don't know, you're still going to pay.
Amen.
I mean, all those people that go to church, they don't know. And well, guess what? They feel good about dying and going to heaven, but we're paying as a nation. There is no future for our children. And why would a young person go to church right now looking around? looking around and seeing what they see. Because they preach prosperity. They preach good stuff. What kind of good stuff is going on? Look at what just happened in Afghanistan. And so, and then people sit there and wonder why nobody's showing up to church, because they got nothing to offer them for this life today. Because everyone's expecting that everything's going to go in the hell in their handbasket. Why? Because they've walked away from the laws of God. That's the way to run a nation. And we all know that in this ministry. If you want God's connection, you do his political agenda. That's what Andrew Jackson said. That's what the Puritans believed, and it worked. Well, now we walked away, it's not working. Israel of old learned the lesson back then, and we're learning it again now.
That's right. That's right. Absolutely. Absolutely.
There's definitely a famine coming in this country, and it's right around the corner. You know, my wife goes to the store and tells me the shelves are getting bare, and this has just begun, because all the water that you see go through America, you cannot rate crops and water too. I mean, good water is in a small amount is great, but when it comes like that, there's nothing left. And you're looking at a major, major famine in this world. You know, it is just plan on it. It's coming, it's here. So
that's right.
We are in a survival mode, whether we know it or not.
That's right. Yeah, the droughts.
I'm glad I'm one of the ones that know it.
Say that again, Zach. I'm sorry.
I said, I'm glad I'm one of the ones that know it.
That's right. You know, Joseph knew it. He knew. He had 7 years to get ready. And I don't think we've got 7 more years. I think that it's we're already into that to get ready for what's coming.
Well, don't forget, God fed us with manna once before. He can do it again. So, I mean, I think that's our remedy, too. That's all we have. He will see us through if we're going to do it.
Yes.
So, you know, the lady that had the jar of grain that never ran out, that could happen again, too. You know, it's where your faith is and what you depend on. You know, if you've depended on the government to bail you out in every bad situation, it's going to fail you, for sure. You know, I figured out why there was a shortage of toilet paper. They were printing money.
Printing money. That's right.
That's not the direction I thought you were going to go with that.
It wasn't the direction I was going to go.
That's right. Well, it lets you know what's on the people's minds when that happened. You know, that's what they were thinking of. Their mind's in the toilet, and so that's what they went to go get. And that, you know, that lets you know the spiritual condition of the majority of people in this nation. Idiocracy. I saw a video when not with the toilet paper, but with the gas deal, when that kicked in here not too long ago, of a guy put a blue tarp in the back of his pickup truck, and he is at the station just filling up the back of his pickup truck like a swimming pool.
No.
I saw the video with the gasoline. And the people were shooting the video were
there
telling
was, there was lots of them. And there was people trying to fill up trash cans.
Yeah.
There were people that were trying to garbage bags. I mean, it was, yeah.
Yeah. It you know, and you think, how, what? Yeah, I mean, it just, you know, the words escape you. It's like, what? And then they showed him leaving, and as he's turning, it's sloshing out. And it just, It is never ending. It is never ending when it's apart from God.
I got a story about it. It just tells you how unsmart people are. So I was talking with this guy yesterday, and I used to chase bears with them, with hound dogs, like 20 years ago. And he was telling me he was chasing bears up in the Upper Peninsula of Michigan. And his dogs were getting ready to push this bear across a tar road, and he's sitting there. And this lady comes pulling up, and he could tell his dogs were getting really close, and this bear was getting really close. And, like, we're literally talking within, like, 30 seconds. And he waves this lady down, and she's got her kids. And he goes, you better stop. There's going to be a bear jumping out, and dog's going to be right behind him. And she gets all mad at him. He's like, whoop. And then right when he got done talking, he said this big old black bear goes hauling the mail across the road, and his four dogs were right on its butt. And this lady looked at him and asked, and she's like, it's 8 o'clock. Are you going to be doing this again tomorrow morning at this time? That's what she asked him. And he's like, no, I don't know. He couldn't believe it. Like, she had no concept of what was going on. Like, just, he thought that that was just a routine thing.
Well, I think you said it, having no concept of what's going on. And I think that's 97% of our people today have no concept. You know, this vaccine that's going on, as John calls it, this science experiment. We've got a paper I wanted to mention. I hope I'd have time this morning. An editorial from the Journal of Biological Regulators and Homeostatic Agents by a Dr. Firinelli, Department of Nuclear, Subnuclear, and Radiation Physics, Guglielmo Marconi University in Rome, Italy, on 5G technology and the induction of coronavirus in skin cells. And it's a little six-page article. We've got it reprinted. It's copyright from BioLife, absolutely. But showing that 5G millimeter waves could be absorbed by dermatologic cells acting like antennas, transferred to other cells, and play the main role in producing coronavirus in biological cells. And so, it's a paper. It's what they call a white paper. Anyway, if you'd like it, we'd be glad to send it to you. We've sent a bunch of them out. It's just further proof, not that many people really need this kind of proof, but it is. It's further proof of what it is. You know, when you have the people that basically made the Georgia Guidestones that talk about reducing the Earth's populations by, what, two-thirds? And they're the people that are pushing and promoting this fast-tracked so-called that has not been approved, even though the news says it. You read the details, it's just, you know, in their wording, for more emergency use. And it is right there, folks. It is right there. Not to even get into the graphene oxide and the... It just goes on and on. But that's where the people are. The people are scared. And when you're scared, when you fear, you're easy manipulated. You know, that's how the spies were with the children of Israel when they went and spied out the promised land. The majority of them, all of them but Caleb, they were scared. And so they were easily manipulated. But when you trust in the Lord, when you become a doer of His word, saved by grace, absolutely. Saved by the blood of the Lamb, absolutely. But we see, even in Revelation, we read, how did they overcome? How did they overcome in Revelation? They overcame by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. That was how they overcame. And how do you have that word of testimony? Well, you have to read the word. You have to absorb the word. You have to dwell in Him and have Him dwell in you. Psalms 91 talks about that. The promises of Psalms 91 are for those that dwell. And, you know, we read about, we've been talking about Ezekiel this morning. And Ezekiel 18, a couple verses here, the last couple verses says, therefore I will judge you, O house of Israel, each according to his own conduct, declares the Lord God. Repent and turn away from all your transgressions, so that iniquity may not become a stumbling block to you. Cast away from you all your transgressions which you have committed, and make yourselves a new heart and a new spirit. For why will you die, O house of Israel? For I have no pleasure in the death of anyone who dies, declares the Lord God. Therefore repent and live. And that phrase, I have no pleasure in the death of anyone who dies, that relates to anyone that God kills because of their sin, because the wages of sin is death. That's what that relates to. And so it's, even in Ezekiel, it's repent and return. It really is. It really is. Well, guys, about 5 minutes left for some good closing comments or encouragement to the remnant.
Well, you know, we got to go back to the gospel. The gospel's the good news. This book is all about good news, and we're seeing the wages of sin is death, which happened to Babylon. It's going down. You know, I've been waiting this day for a long time now. When COVID first came around, it kind of irritated me. It got me out of my comfort zone. I couldn't go to the coffee shop and different stuff like that. But it was good for us, and there's a lot of good going on right now. I mean, there's a... This kind of stuff is bringing his people back to him and the other ones away. So, I mean, there's a real line being drawn in the sand, and it's a good thing. And people make choices. There's nothing fun about watching, you know, with much knowledge comes much grief, too. You know, when you get to know this stuff, it causes a lot of grief, because you can see the ramifications of their sin, our sin, and all of that. And a lot of times, you know, there's a lot of people have a comfort zone that's just, they think they're fine. The deceitfulness of riches, you know, they've got all this paper money stored up. They traded the family farm for cash, you know, and they didn't get nothing. Real wealth is in children and your possessions, you know, and enjoying how they operate, you know, watch your kids grow and all that stuff. That's wealth. It's not a 1040.
Paul, I couldn't agree with you more on that. I mean, people, I sit there and I see people, you know, they try to protect their money, and you know, the things I've been doing the last few months, you know, the things that I have, I realize money is just a byproduct of the tools that I buy and the things that I do, and it just gives me more power to do different things. And really, when it comes right down to it, it's just like you said, watch your kids grow up, train them, and in all things, not only the Word of God, but like how to work and how to be, you know, self-sufficient and all that, all those other things. And what we're seeing is a lot of people, they're going to put their faith in their money, and it's not going to get them anywhere. I'd much rather have, you know, a greenhouse with a bunch of vegetables growing in it this winter than a pile full of cash and nothing in the store shelves. Don't get me wrong, I'd like to see stuff on the store shelves, but I think I'll be okay either way. So, you know, that's just kind of my mentality and the way I look at stuff. You know, money is, I mean, it's important, and it's an avenue to get the things that you need and to be able to do fun things too, but it's just money. It's just a reflection of your labor. That's it.
I agree.
Well, you know, the inflation
one of the things that caught my eye was in the Moscow Times. It said the world's first communist, none other than Jesus Christ, the head of Russia's Communist Party, said, put Jesus' Sermon on the Mount and the moral code of the builder of communism next to each other, and you will just gasp. Gonadies and Yahweh said Thursday in a radio interview with something, newspaper. He added that the main slogan of communism, he who does not work shall not eat, is written in the Apostle Paul's second epistle to the Thessalonians, found in the New Testament. Quote, we need to study the Bible, he concluded with.
Well, I'll agree with that much of it.
Yes. Yesterday, I was at a vegetable farmer, and this packing plant that he sells to called him up and asked him, do you have anything packed that we can sell? He says, we got stuff here, but we have nobody to pack it. He said, they can't get no help. Every place you look, help wanted, help wanted. And, you know, that... I'll guarantee you there's hardly one pulpit
in Michigan that ever preached, if you don't work, you don't eat. That would take care of it all. All we have to do is use God's law to clean up this thing, punish crime the way we're supposed to. I'm looking forward to that day. You know, the Bible says your money will turn to dross. That's called inflation. Your money, you know, they're paying over the, you know, you put a house on the market and they sell it way over that without even trying. You know, it's just going on like crazy, you know. But I think that's just a sign of desperation.
Yep, trying to keep it up.
I never looked at it that way.
Trying to keep it up. Well, guys, we are out of time. Great, great program. Maybe we'll do 2 hours one day. There's enough to talk about, that's for sure. Thanks for joining us. And, Remnant, we do want to invite you to church tomorrow. We will be there, the good Lord willing. And don't think the creek's going to rise, so that's good. And we'll start at 8:30 a.m. Mountain, 9:30 Central, 10:30 Eastern, 7:30 on the West Coast. And we'll have a review of the news or an insight and study. We'll have a timeless pulpit truth that are just for today. They are encouraging, but they are prophetic. And when you see them, you see that prophetic word come true. We'll have a live message to strengthen and encourage you. And we'll partake of communion. We'll remember what our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ did for us. And folks, that is how, as Psalms 91 says, as we said earlier, that is one of the ways we abide in Him. That is one of the ways we abide in the shadow of the Almighty, is when we gather together. And we gather in Jesus' name for praise and worship and growth and remembrance of Him. And so we do encourage you to join us there. And men, thank you so much. Have a blessed weekend. And guys, we'll see you at church tomorrow.
Rolling, 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 rolling,
rolling,
rolling, rolling, rolling, rolling, rolling, rolling, though this country's stolen, keep on rolling over, snake high. Fast and free together, make them hell send forever, knowing the King is by our side. Those old snakes are clever, but Jesus is forever. God's waiting at the end of our ride.